Today's shiur is for schus for shalom and bracha for refuah shleima. Today's shiur is mesecht ksubas daf kuf dalad. We will begin on daf kuf dalad amar aleph, the top line. The gemara continues discussing the ptira of Rebbe. Says the gemara, hahu yoima the nach nafshe the Rebbe, the day that Rebbe passed away, goz rabbanan tanisa, rabbanan were goz atanis ubay rachme, and they davened that Rebbe should live. Vamri, command the Amen Nach Nafshe the Rebbe. And they said, whoever says that Rebbe was Nifter, Yadaka Becharev, should be stabbed. So, of course, this is a difficult Gemara to understand. If Rebbe was Nifter, how could we say that if somebody says that he was Nifter, Yadaka Becharev, he deserves to be killed? If he's no longer alive, he's no longer alive. And the Mefarshim explain that we know tzaddikim b'misason kruim chayim, that tzaddikim, even when they're no longer alive, they're still considered alive. They still could accomplish so much for us. Somebody who believes that when a tzaddik is no longer alive, he's the nach nafshe, that he's no longer alive, that he's no longer able to accomplish anything, Yidaka Becharev. We believe, says the Chasam Sofer, that the tzaddikim, when they're in the kever, the svasov doivavos bekever, their lips are still moving. And therefore, that's why anybody who announces that Rebbe is no longer, anybody who is involved in announcing that he's not alive, Yidaka Becharev. Another pshat that I saw, going back to what we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, we discussed that Rebbe used to come to his home every Friday night. Rebbe was unlike the other tzaddikim. Even after they were no longer alive, he came back every Friday night. And therefore, and we learned that not only did he come back every Friday night, but he was mitzi them with Kiddush. And that's why somebody who says that Rebbe is no longer alive, Yidaka Becharev. Another pshat that I saw from the Akedas Yitzchak is that, unlike other people who, when they leave the world, don't leave over anything, their influence ends when they leave the world, tzaddikim, even when they are no longer in the world, they continue to be a positive influence in the world. And somebody says, "Kol Noimed Nach Nafshi the Rebbe." Somebody thinks that the influence of Rebbe passes away when he passes away. Says the Gemara, "Yadaka Becharev, he deserves to be stabbed." Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says that the Gemara is teaching us, as we're about to learn, one is not supposed to announce the death, and particularly the death of a tzaddik. How call Amadach Nafshe the Rebbe? Whoever says the Rebbe is no longer alive, Yadaka Becharev. Says the Gemara, Zalak Amsei the Rebbe Leigra. And the maid of Rebbe went up to the roof of the home, and Amra, and she said, Al Yonim Avakshim's Rebbe, it's obvious that in Shemayim they want Rebbe's Neshama. V'tachtonim Avakshim's Rebbe, and here in this world, we still want Rebbe to be alive and be with us. She davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help that the ones in this world should prevail and the Rebbe should remain alive. But then she saw how often he would have to go to the bathroom and he would take off his tefillin and put him back on. And even though Tosfos asks, the Gemara says the Chayle Me'ayim should not wear tefillin. So how did Rebbe wear tefillin? So Tosfos answers, the reason Chayli Me'ayin are not supposed to wear tefillin is because we were concerned that they won't be able to protect them with the proper covet. But Rebbe was able to protect his tefillin with the proper covet, and that's why he made sure to take them off every time he couldn't wear them anymore. And that's what the Gemara, that's why he was able to continue wearing tefillin. But it became a big issue. Amru, at that point, she said, Rebbe should no longer be alive. Let Rebbe pass away. But the Talmidim, the in yeshiva, the community was continuing to daven. Shakal Kuza, so she took a barrel, Shadya Me'agral Ara, and she threw it down in order that it should make noise. And when they'll make when it will make noise, they'll stop davening. Ishtechu Merachme, they stopped davening. And that morning, the Nafshi the Rebbe. So the Gilyan Ashas and others say that from here we see that just like we're supposed to daven for a person to be alive, sometimes it may be better to daven for a person that they should not be alive. And therefore, at this point, when she saw Rebbe's difficult situation, the Rebbe was not able really to properly survive in this world, at that point, she davened that he should die. Ramosha, based on this Gemara, in a tshuva in more than one place, Chashimeshbet, Chelik Beis, Simen Ayin Gimel, Simen Ayin Dalid, discusses a patient who is terminally ill and is not able to function anymore. Are we obligated to continue giving him medication to prolong his life? So Ramosh says, we're not allowed to give him, of course, any medication that to cause him to pass away. That is completely usur in halacha. But we are also not obligated to prolong his life, particularly if we know, as we just discussed, that his situation is terminal and he's not going to really be able to make it anyway. We're better off, suggests Ramosha, just doing whatever we have to do to keep him comfortable versus doing things to prolong his life. That's what we see. The Shifcha of Rebbe already was mispalel that he should no longer be alive because he can't, it's difficult. Amalei Rabbanan Barak Kapara. So the Gemara continues saying, Rabbanan Barak Kapara, Zil Ayin, they said, what's going on? They realized something must have happened here because the fact that there was a noise and they all stopped davening meant something. So they told him, Zil Ayin, go see what's going on. Ozl Ashkechei Denach Nafshei. And they saw that he passed away. Karla Levushei. So he did Kriya. V'dera L'kara L'churei. And then he put the Kriya back. So the Pasha Peshat is that he didn't want them to recognize, he didn't want to be the one to expressly announce that he no longer was alive. But he had to get the message across. So the way he did was that he put it back. Pasva Marelim Mitzukim Achsbar and Kodesh, the Notzu Arelim Mitzukim. He says there was a fight between the Arelim and the Mitzukim, who the people in this world and the people in Shemayim, the Nishbar Aran HaKadosh, and Aran HaKadosh was kidnapped. The Neshama of Rebbe was taken back to Shemayim. Amlo Nach Nafshei. So they asked him expressly, has he passed away? Amlo Atakamrita, you said it, but not like Kimne. I did not want to say expressly. One should not be the one to expressly say that somebody, to be the bearer of bad news, and say expressly that someone was Nifter. And this is the makar, why we should avoid expressly saying that somebody was nifto. So the Yaris Tavash says that was pshat nitzcha reilim as a mitzukim. Says the Malach Esharis wanted Rebbe should pass away, and that Tzadikim wanted the Rebbe should stay alive. Why? Because the Malachim wanted that Rebbe's neshama should come back to Shemayim and be amongst them. And that's why, says the Yaris Tavash, sometimes we have to be careful that daven directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because if we don't daven to directly Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's a real concern if we daven through the Malachim. The Malachim, as we see in this Gemara, may feel that it's better for this neshama to be in the next world. And they won't deliver and the tefillah properly. But when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, and of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears all of the tefillahs of all Jews, then we don't have that concern. The other issue to talk about in this Gemara is that we see the Bakapar did not want to expressly say the Rebbe was Nifter. And that's why the minig was that when somebody was Nifter, they used to pour out all the water in the neighborhood. The reason they poured out all the water in the neighborhood was like that, they got the message across that this person was no longer alive, but they did not have to say it expressly. However, so the question is that there are many times notification in a newspaper or in different forms of notification that somebody was Nifter. And our Gemara just says that it should never be said expressly. So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, in his Shailos HaTshuva Silmas Chaim, Yoridei Simen Tuf Chav Zayin, already discusses this, and he says that putting something in a paper is not considered Moitzi Dibba. Moitzi Dibba is only when it's said expressly. But if it's not said expressly, it's just printed in a newspaper, that's not considered Moitzi Dibba. And certainly, the Paiskin suggest that if announcing that the person was Nifter was for the purpose of giving him the proper covered in his burial, the copper covered attire that we discussed in our previous year, it would be permissible. Says the Gemara B'Shas P'tasha Sherebi, as Rebbe was leaving this world, Zokov Esetz Boisov Klapimala, he raised his 10 fingers, Vama Ribbani Shalom, Goli Viducha Fenachat is well known to you. Shigati B'Esetz Boisai B'Torah, I used all of my energy for Torah mitzvahs, and I did not have any enjoyment in this world, even in the smallest amount. Halavai, that I should have a proper menucha. So many Rishonim, of course, asked the question. Tosfos asked the question. Our Gemara says that Rebbe says, as he leaves from the world, that he did not have any pleasure in this world. But yet, the Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah says that there wasn't any delicacy that wasn't on Rebbe's table. So we see that Rebbe, of course, did have enjoyment in this world. So Tosfos in Masechet Avodah Zarah asks this question. And Tosfos says that all the delicacies that were found in Rebbe's home were served to others. It was nothing that he served for him, that he used for himself. But then the Vilna Gaon gives another explanation based on the Torah. The Torah explains that the Torah says, "B'chol drachecha de'ehu." Says the Vilna Gaon, says the Torah, that when the Torah says, "B'chol drachecha de'ehu," the Torah does not mean to say that one is not allowed to have any pleasure from this world. Rather, what the Torah means, what is meant to say is that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, all the gashmias that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, is all supposed to be used l'shem shemayim. It's all supposed to be used for our avodas Hashem. Rebbe said, of course I had benefit and pleasure in this world. As the Gemara just said, Rebbe, there was nothing that he didn't enjoy. But what he did, what he was able to say was that everything that he enjoyed in this world was only for the sake of L'shem Shemayim. And since he showed even the fingers, all of his energy and all of his efforts that he had in this world were all used L'shem Shemayim. And since they were all used for the purpose of L'shem Shemayim, it's not considered in any way that he had his own personal agenda. He didn't have his own personal agenda. Everything that he had was l'shem shemayim. And that's why I saw that Reb Tzadik in his Sefer Tzadik says, Yaakov Avinu loymeis. What's pshat Yaakov Avinu loymeis? Yaakov Avinu also was an individual who didn't have any pleasure in this world. And that's why Yaakov Avinu says, Loimeis, there was no difference between when he was alive and when he's not alive. Everything that he had in this world was L'shem Shemayim. Says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, we just quoted the Pasuk, Yenucha al Mishkavcha. Says the Gemara, Mishkavcha, should have said, As the Masha explains, we're speaking about
then the Rebbe is Patira, so it's one individual. Answers the Gemara. When a tzaddik leaves this world, this tzaddik is coming. Let all the other tzaddikim come out to greet him. And then all the other tzaddikim go back to where all the other tzaddikim go back to where he come from. What's pshat that the malachim have to inform that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this tzaddik was nifter? Doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, know that he was nifter? So the Ene Yitzchak explains that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create the human, the person, the malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ma enoish kises karena. What's the purpose of creating a human being? A human being doesn't, Averis, a human being, what does he accomplish? But when a person like Rebbe leaves the world, who accomplished and did in this lifetime what he was supposed to do, so that the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are right. You are right in the creation of people when we have tzaddikim like Rebbe who spared their lives in this world. Says the Gemara, Amar Veloz B'Shosh, HaTzadik Niftam Ha'olim, Sholosh Kiddush Malachus, Hasharos Yetzel Kross, there are three groups of Malachim go out to greet him. Ach Samaris Loi Bai B'Sholim. One says, Bai B'Sholim, Ach Samar Ha'olich Nechachai, go straight. V'Ach Samaris Loi, and one group says, Yavai Sholim Yenuchal Mishkoisim. And says the Gemara, on the other hand, B'Shosh HaRosh HaNevim Ha'olim, when a Rosh leaves the world, also, Sholosh HaKiddush, Shemalach HaBaros Yetzel Kross, three groups of malachim go out to greet him. Achs Ameris, Ein Shalom Om Hashem Roshoim. Achs Ameris Lo Ma'atzev Yashkev Hago to Gehenim. V'achs Ameris Rudov V'Heshkev Arelim, that you'll end up with all the other Arelim people who didn't deserve to live the lives that they live. Says the Mishnah, Kozman Shibesavya. As we learned, an almana is entitled to remain in the husband's home, or she could go back to her father's home. If she goes back to her father's home, we've discussed extensively in our previous shiurim, she's not entitled to support. But of course, she's still entitled to her ksuba. So halach is, as long as she's by her father's home, but she's being supported. That's the way Rashi explains. And that's the way we're going to learn the Shir, that she is being supported, but she's in her father's home. The halacha is, she's Gavik Subas Lailam, she can claim Maksuba. The Kozman Shibes Baala, and the Tanakhama's opinion, Ramey's opinion, is that as long as she's in her husband's home still, Gavik Subas Adasim Chameshana, for the first 25 years after the death of the husband, she has a right to claim the ksuba. She could say that she didn't ask for the ksuba. Sheyesh Besim Chameshana Shatasa Toiv Kenei Ksubasai. Ramey explains, invariably, during all these years that she's in her husband's home, she's using assets of her husband. So by the time 25 years pass, she will have used up the value of the ksuba. And since she will have used up all of the value of a ksuba, so that's why she has no right to ask for it anymore. That's the opinion of Rav Gamliel. The Chum Maimrim, the Chum say just the opposite. Kozman Shibais Vala, as long as she's still in her husband's home, Goivik Subasal Oilam, she could ask for a ksuba forever, because the reason she didn't ask for the ksuba is because she's being supported. And since she's being supported, she's embarrassed to ask for a ksuba. But however, Kozman Shibais Avia, once she's in her father's home, she doesn't have that embarrassment. She's not being supported by her husband, by her husband's family, so there's nothing holding her back. And that's why she could only ask for a ksuba for the first 25 years. But after 25 years, the fact that she hasn't asked the ksuba all these years is a proof that she was meichel the ksuba. Rabbi Kivega asks a question: what's the halacha of some of those years she spent the Beis Bala, and then she went to her husband's home? So we just learned the opinion of the Chacham is that the years that she's in the Beis Bala, she doesn't ask for the ksuba because she's embarrassed to ask for the ksuba. So what happens if she spent a number of years with Beis Bala and then she went to Beis Avia? Do we count 25 years? Do we count 25 years from when she went to Beis Avia? What will be the halacha? So he says that if she has a shtar ksuba in her hand, then the fact that is a proof that she wasn't Michael, and we don't combine the years. Mesa, once the woman dies, their halacha is Yosha Maskin Ksubasa. The people who are Yoshim can ask for a ksuba at Esrim V'chameish Shanim. And here all the Rishonim say the years that they have the right to ask for the ksuba don't combine with the years that she had a right to ask for the ksuba. Amar Abaye Rav Yosef. So ask Abaye Rav Yosef. Anisha Bisrael at Esrim V'chameish Shanim. Umarta Beis at Esrim V'chameish Shanim. Again, we explain that the basis for Ramea's opinion was that the reason for why, if she's in her husband's home after 25 years, she has no right to ask for the ksuba anymore, because she must have invariably used it up. But that's understandable, asked the Gemara, if she doesn't have such a significant sum in her ksuba. But if she has a very significant sum in her ksuba, doesn't make sense. Marta Bas Basis, a very wealthy family, doesn't make sense that she used up the entire ksuba in 25 years? Answers the Gemara, Amalei, yes. According to the strength of the camel is what he carries. If she has a larger ksuba, she spends more in her husband's home. And since she spends more in her husband's home, she will have spent, in 25 years, she would have spent the entire ksuba. So they asked, L'Ramei, according to Ramei's opinion, Masha Tashlish, when she did 25 years, didn't pass. And we're saying that every day, every year, she's using some of the husband's money. So do we prorate what she, according to the amount of years that she lived in their home? And the Gemara remains with a teku. We learned that as long as she's Bebeis Bala, she never, even if it's past 25 years, it doesn't mean that she was Michael Ksuba. So, but in her husband's home, it's the 25 years is the cutoff. Ask the Gemara. Amalei Abaye L'Rabbi Yosef. Asa kadim shkiyas chama. So that means if she would ask a moment before the shkiya, goy v'ksubasai, she's entitled to ksuba. Lacha shkiyas chama. But if she comes a moment after the shkiya, after 25 years have passed, loy gavya, then she doesn't get a right to ksuba. And the Panim Iris and the Tshuvas point out, from here we see that the time, that the cutoff time for this halacha is shkiya, not seisach chavim. So the question the Gemara is posing is, that one moment makes such a big difference? Behu pirta, that moment from before shkia to after shkia is exactly the moment that chilta, that she's moichel ksuba. Amalei, to Rabbi Yosef responded, in, yes, because he says, that's everywhere that we find in halacha. In halacha we find that the halacha is ba'abam saw toivel, that the shear of a kosher mikvah is 40 saw. Ba'abam saw chosah kartiv, if a mikvah is exactly, is missing a drop, and a yachalit b'behen. So we see that everything in Shurim is based on the smallest amount. So of course, Rabbi Chanan Vassman asks, you can't compare a shir of a mikveh, which is Aloch L'Moshe M'Sinai, versus here, which is really based on a human reaction, that 25 years is the amount. So Rabbi Chanan says a very important word. He says, even though, as is very clear in our Gemara, the shear is 25 years. And the Gemara says that the shear of 25 years is based on what Chazal said, that if a woman didn't ask for the ksuba in 25 years, she must have been Meichel. Even though the Chachamim applied their logic to this halacha, doesn't mean that the halacha is completely based on logic. Logic is what they use for an explanation. But the halacha is because Chazal said that that is the halacha. And therefore, since Chazal said that that's the halacha, doesn't make a difference. It's no different than a mikveh, where Chazal said that the mikveh depends on Boim Saw, and there is no logic involved. Here too, even though there is a logic involved, it's not the logic that determines the halacha. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Heid Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosef Lefnei Rabbi Shammai Mishem Aviv. Loi Amar, this entire discussion where the 25-year statute of limitation is Elish Ein Shtar Ksuba Yotz Metach Yedea, that she doesn't present the Ksuba. Av Shtar Ksuba Yotz Metach Yedea, if she presents a Ksuba, Goy V'Ksubas Loilam, she always has a right to request a Ksuba. Rav Elazar Omer, Afil Shtar Ksuba Yotz Metach Yedea, the fact that she is or isn't holding on to a Ksuba, Ein Goy V'Elad Eser Chameshanim. Masif Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes asks a question on Rav's opinion. The Brisa says, "B'chayiv goyiv shloi baskara." Even about chayiv that didn't say anything for 25 years, there is no statute of limitations on loans. Hey Chidomim, ask them what exactly is the case. Either loy nakat shtaria, if he's not holding a document. So b'may gavi, how could you collect a debt if you don't have a document to back up your claim? Elo de nakat shtara. It must be that he's holding the debt. And what is the Braisa teaching us? Bal Chayiv, that by a debt, there's no reason to say that he was Moichel. So that's why by a debt we say, Bal Chayiv, de la bar chulehi. It must be that he wasn't Moichel. Halmana. But when we speak about Halmana, even if she's holding on to the Shtar Chayiv, presumably there is a 25-year statute of limitation. Not like Rav said that if you're holding on to the piece of paper, the statute of limitation rule doesn't apply. Answers the Gemara. Who says the Gemara? Who mafarakla? Rav Sheshes asked the question. Rav Sheshes replies to the question. Loilam de loy nakat shtara. He's not holding on to a document. That the person admits that he owes the money. And since the person admits that he owes the money, and therefore, it doesn't make a difference if I'm holding on to a shtar or not. Almana, who doesn't have a ksuba, and Almana, there's a reason to say that she's Meichel, then even though the Yarshim agree that they owe the money, the halach is that she's probably Meichel, unless she's holding on to a shtar. Vam Rav Lo, ask the Gemara, Shainu, we learned in a Braisa, Grusha Rei Kabal Chayiv. The Grusha is treated like a Kabal Chayiv. Says the Gemara, because a Grusha, who obviously left her husband's home not on the best of circumstances, obviously is not Meichel. So as the Gemara, hey Chidami, either loy nakat ksuba, if she's not holding on to ksuba, the b'may gavya, what could she be using to make a claim? Elalav, the nakita ksuba. The only way that we could be explaining this is that she's holding on to a document. Grusha, and by Grusha we say, the la basachulihi. She certainly didn't forgive her obligation. Because why should she? She left, as we just explained, under bad circumstances. Ha almona, but almona, achilta, even if she's holding on to a shtar. Answers the Gemara, ha chinami shchai moida. It's not referring to the Grusha that's holding on to the ksuba. Anyone who's actually holding on to the ksuba, anyone who's actually holding on to the ksuba, there is no 25-year limitation. But the difference between a grusha and almana is if neither one is holding on to the shtar, but the family admits that they didn't pay the ksuba. So by a grusha, if she's making the claim, they'll have to pay it. By almana, if it's 25 years and she doesn't have a document ksuba in her hand, then the chacham say she must have been meichel. Amar Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak Tanur of Yehuda Barkozah Masnista the Bei Barkozah Tava Ksubasa. If a woman asked for a ksuba within the 25 years, Harei he kivatchila. The count begins at the 25-year count. Vema yishta yoytz vema yishta ksuba yoytz mitachs yudal. And if she has a shtar, Gaivik Sabasa Loilam, then as we just learned, she could collect the ksuba forever. Says the Gemara, Shalach Lei Rav Nachman Bar Chisda Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov. You'll have Deinu Rabbeinu, that this that you just said, that she collects the ksuba up to 25 years, Kshtar Ksuba Yotze Medachsi Yodaya, when the Amana is holding the ksuba, that's when we'll have the machlokes we learned in our Mishnah, the machlokes are Meir Chachamim, or Ksheng Kshtar Yotze Medachsi Yodaya, or is the halacha even in a case where she's not holding on to the shtar? And the next question that he asked was, exactly who is the halacha like? Shalach Lei, so he responded, when she's not holding on to the shtar, that is the case of the machlokes. Aval, in a case, the shtar ksuba yotze b'tachas yodea, then the gavik subas l'olam. So we already established that the halacha is like Rav, that once she's holding on to the document, she's entitled forever. And number two, in the machloikis that we had in the Mishnah between Ramei and the Chamim, teaches us the Gemara, the halacha k'divrei Chamim, the halacha is like the Chamim. Says the Gemara, Kasser of Dimi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazi, Amar Rav Shimon ben Levi, Mishum Kapara, Lo Shanu, this 25 years that we're speaking about is only on the basic ksuba, on the mana messiah. Avotosis, the Tosis ksuba that her husband many times adds into the ksuba, Yeshla, the 25-year rule doesn't apply. Whatever is the halacha on the basic ksuba is going to be on the Tosis as well. Tanai ksuba, the Tosis ksuba is in the category of the Tanai ksuba, and he says Tanai ksuba ksuba dami. It benami, says the Gemara, Omer Rav Abba, Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav, Lo Shana Alman Masayim. The discussion here is about the Man Masayim, Aval, Tosis, Yoshloi, that the Tosis she always will see receive. Omele, Rav Abba, Rav Huna, Omer Rav Hachi, this indeed that opinion of Rav. Omele, so Rav Huna said, Ishtekin Kamrit, what are you saying? You're asking, Ishtek Kamrit, are you trying to make me be quiet? Are you trying to get me to back off from my position? I ask Kamrit, are you trying to say that it deserves a cup of wine? It deserves a lechayim because it's so correct. Amalei, so he said, what I'm trying to say is, Ishtek Kamina, I'm trying to say that you should be quiet. I don't agree with what you're saying. The halacha should be that the ksuba and the tanai ksuba should be treated the same. Says the Gemara, Chamsei de Rechia Aricha, the mother-in-law of Rechia Aricha, Intis Achvahava, was his aunt. And her husband passed away without children, and Rechia was the Yairish. The reason he was called Aricha was because he was a tall person. He was taller than everybody else. Another pshat that the Shita suggests is Aruch means he was a fine person. Aruch means to say that this was an individual who was an Aruch, who acted always in a very proper manner. And since he always acted in a very proper manner, he was called Aricha. So again, the Manlor of Chia, who was married, the mother of Manlor of Chia Aricha, who was married to the brother of Chia without children, died without children. Rav Chia, as we learn, was the Yairish. The Yavam is the Yairish. V'amonav beis aviyah hava. And she went back to her father's home. V'zona, and Rav Chia supported her, Esrim v'chameh shana v'bein nasha. Rav Chia supported her for those 25 years in her father's home. L'soif, at the end of 25 years, Amalei havli mezayna. She said, give me support. Amala, so Rav Chia said, Leslach Mezayna, I'm not obligated to support you. So she said, okay, if you're not going to support me, and everything going to be explained in the Gemara, obviously, Havli Ksuba, give me my Ksuba payment. Amalei, Loi Mezayna Islach, you're not entitled to Mezaynas, V'loi Ksuba Islach, and you're not entitled to Ksuba. Because he held that after 25 years that she didn't ask for Ksuba, she lost the right to ask for the ksuba. And he also held that once she lost the right to ask for ksuba, she also loses the right for mezoinus. Says the Gemara, Tavet eladina kamei de Rabbi Bashila. So she took it to the Torah by Rabbi Bashila. Amalei, so Rabbi Bashila asks Rabbi Chia, Amalei easy, gufadov de hechihava. Tell me exactly what happened here. Amalei, so Rabbi Chia says, Zanisa Esther kamei shana b'nei b'nasha, I supported her for 25 years in her father's home. B'chaye demar, I could swear by your life, the b'kasvoy am toiloi, I myself carried the food for her to show her respect. Amalei, tamamai amar rabbanon. So Rava Rav Shela said to Rav Chia, why did Chazal say that kozman she bebeis ba'al agovik subas alayla, that as long as she's in the home of her husband, she's entitled to always ask for ksuba? There is no 25-year limitation. Damrinan, mishum ksufa hedalai tava. She's embarrassed. The family, her husband's family, are treating her so well. But since her husband's family are treating her so well, she didn't ask for the ksuba. But it's not in any way an indication that she was meichel the ksuba. Hachanami said, Rabbi Bashel, that's the exact same situation here. The reason she didn't ask for the ksuba all these years is shem ksuva. She was embarrassed. You were treating her so nicely, and that's why she didn't ask for the ksuva. And therefore, he instructed her, Zilhavla. He instructed her to give the ksuva. Beloyajgach, he disregarded his psak. Kosovla, so Rabbi Bashela wrote a document, a drachta, a document that just like if somebody comes to collect a debt and the loiva doesn't pay it, so the halacha is that one can go after the assets of the loiva. Not only can one go after the assets of the loiva, but as we've discussed so many times in our Masechta, one at that point can go after the nechasim meshubadim of the loiva. So says the Gemara, since this person was refusing to pay what he was supposed to pay, the halacha is that they could go after the nechasim meshubadim of the loiva. So that's what they of Rav Chia. Also kamei drava. So now the Amana comes to Rava and says, "Amale ma'ar chazi ma'achi denan." She said to him, "Look what happened here." Amale shapidonach. The psak that Rava Bashela issued is correct. Amale hach lezel hadli peri the minahu yoyim adidna. If everything I've done is correct, so all the property that I'm supposed to receive from the moment that document of that I'm allowed to collect was written, not only should I get those properties, but I should even get the payris that those properties grew from that moment. Amalei, so Rava said them, Achvali Dartich, show me the shtar drachta. Chazya, the Lehav Ksiba, he saw that were missing from that document, were missing the words. It didn't say that these properties belong to the husband who passed away. In other words, the document was written on Rav Chia's assets, not on the assets of his brother who passed away. Amalei, so Rav said to the Amana, Adrachta Lav Shabak Siva, this document was not written properly. Because the document should have said that your husband's assets are from where you could collect, not from his assets. Amalei, Tezel Adrachta. So forget about it. So he says, Izel Miyom Deshli Miyom Akras Dar Hashta. So let's not rely on that Shtar Adrachta, because it wasn't written properly. But Rechia should pay for me, for my ksuba, and from the assets of my husband. Amalei, Hanimili, had there no document been written, you have a right, you have a lien on those assets. In other words, what he was saying was, a wrongly written document is worse than no document. Amalei, but the Amana said to Rava, throughout Shas, we have this concept that every loan comes along with achrayis. Achrayis means that the malva has a right to go after the meshubadim of all the assets of the loiva, even those assets that the loiva had sold. And if that clause is missing from the document, it's still considered as if that clause belongs there. It's just Tar Sofer, it was a mistake that it was omitted. So why are you taking the shtar and making the shtar and now saying that this shtar was written improperly? Says it should be no worse than if nothing was said. Here, I can't apply that concept. And again, as we said, a bad document is worse than no document. Because how did Rabbi Bashela ask the Gemara come to make such an error? Because the reason Rabbi Bashela wrote the document on Rav Chiya's assets, because as we learned, Rav Chiya was the sole Yairish of his brother. So it doesn't make a difference, his own assets or his brother's assets. Rabbi Bashela said, they're all Rav Chiya's, and there shouldn't be a difference. But that was incorrect. Zimda Ozla Meshpechla Debala Mechzvi, because there's sometimes that the Amana will get from the assets of the Yairish and not from the assets of her husband. And the husband and the husband's assets will be left not attended to. And then the Yairish will say, the Yairish knows that the husband's assets are up to, the wife has a lien on. His assets, this woman has no lien on. So if he's going to have to work on assets and improve the assets, he's obviously going to improve the assets that don't have a lien on them versus the assets that there is a lien on. And if she will take those assets that she had no lien on, and there'll be a reversal of the psak, v'asalafuki l'azabadina, and of course people will say that they didn't take care of the almana properly. In order to make sure that these kind of mistakes don't happen, in order to make sure that these types of mistakes don't happen, the document has to be written properly. And Rabbi Shela didn't think about all of these possibilities, and that's why he didn't write the document properly. And Agamar is saying an improper written document is worse than no document. Why is that indeed the halakha? Why should an improper document be worse than no document? So the Rishonim explain, what is the strength of a document? So we've discussed many, many times. The strength of a document is the strength of a document is the fact that the document has a kol. And anybody who buys those assets knowing that he risks when he buys those assets. When you have a wrongly worded document, the people aren't really concerned about the document. They're Talmid HaChachamim, and they know that the document was written improperly. So the document is not what they're going to rely on, and they're going to think there's no Mechasim HaShabadim. Now when we take it away from them, that's going to be the reason for concern.